This is the first part of a three-part interview. Our first guests are Eddie Huesca of Fuerza Puerza, formerly Student Support for Migrant Workers, and Drew Garvey of Guelph, Ontario's Young Communist League, and they talk about the implications surrounding the recent reimposition of visa requirements on people of Mexican and Czech Roma descent. These requirements were implemented to specifically target individuals seeking refugee status in Canada and were intended to block the large flow of Mexicans and Czech Roma people into Canada. Fuerza Puerza, both meaning strength, the former being in Spanish and the latter being in Filipino, is a volunteer-run group which has been organizing out of Guelph for the past 3 years. The group works to build awareness about Canadian migrant worker programs, including the Seasonal Agricultural Workers Program, the Temporary Worker Program, and the Living Caregiver Program. They are active in working with temporary migrants in Guelph, Bradford, Simcoe, and Niagara, contributing to the provision of free resource support to these individuals, while working in solidarity with them on various projects aimed at promoting their agency and dignity. The Young Communist League is a Marxist-Leninist organization of youth who struggle for socialism and work to build a strong youth and student movement. They are a multi-ethnic organization of young workers, employed and unemployed, young women and men. They work in movements for peace and democracy and against racism, sexism, homophobia, national oppression, and destruction of the environment. So, I'd like to warmly welcome Drew and Eddie, who are going to be speaking today about some recent changes in the Canadian immigration system. So, can you give us an overview about some of the recent changes that have occurred?
Yeah, I can do that. This is the last move in like a series of moves that have been part of really regressive changes to both enforcement and immigration policy on the part of the Conservative government, and with Jason Kenney recently spearheading as immigration minister. So last week he came out and said that basically we're being drained by the refugees are bleeding the Canadian government, and we need to figure out a way to cut down on the refugee claimants coming from Mexico and from the Czech Republic. So he has set up these visa requirements, an effort to try and make sure less refugees are coming from Mexico and the Czech Republic, which the Czech Republic are mostly the Roma minority, which is an oppressed nation within the Czech Republic. So there's big problems with these visa requirements, and the reason why...
I'm so sorry. Your mic wasn't working then.
That so was going to be very quiet.
Okay, I'll repeat. What does this recent move by Jason Kenney do? Can you give a bit of background as to how the government is justifying this?
Yeah, the reason that Jason Kenney's coming out and saying that why he needs to make these changes is that we're paying too much... The taxpayer is paying too much money to these refugees that are not really supposedly facing persecution in their own countries. Now, this is really problematic. What he wants to do is make sure less refugee claimants are coming from the Roma population in the Czech Republic and Mexico. He's framed it as saying the majority of these claimants are bogus, so we shouldn't be letting them in. Yeah, so we're gonna cut down on the numbers. This is really problematic. It puts barriers in place for, well, most refugees are actually poor and working class, so it definitely targets the poor. Yeah, Eddie, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, it definitely has connotations of racist issues there, because you're generalizing a huge population of people, and the Canadian refugee system is supposed to look at specific cases, case by case, and determine relevancy that way. And to politicize, and that's what Kenny's doing, is to politicize the refugee process in Canada, and having him speak, you know, publicly and denouncing broad populations of people as illegitimate, bogus, and things like that. That's not how the refugee system is supposed to be. And it is, and I find it definitely racist, you know, to suggest that all Mexicans coming here are fleeing and crossing, you know, coming to Canada to take advantage of our system and our, quote, you know, Canadian generosity. That's crap.
How do you feel about the government's constant referring to refugee claims as bogus or illegitimate?
I have a huge problem, and it's been echoed a lot by other community groups and everything like that, because firstly, the idea that refugee claimants who are coming from these two regions or who are consisting of these two populations aren't experiencing serious violence or persecution or oppression of different sorts is not right and it's not founded. Minister Kenney keeps referring a lot in his interviews to a report that he did where I think they went to the Czech Republic for 7 days. Based on those 7 days, speaking to different government officials and supposedly representatives of the Roma population and community activists, that they were able to come to the conclusion that these people, though experiencing, I have the quote that I can read exactly what he says. Based on this report, he says, "They sometimes face harassment that is coming from non-state actors, but the government is making efforts to improve their living conditions and their protections and equal treatment." That's slightly ridiculous because, quite frankly, it's great that the government is making efforts, but the reality is there's a lot of extreme cases that are still very real and have to be recognized and seen as very legitimate. For example, reports by Toronto immigrant lawyer Max Berger, and he works with the Czech Roma community in Toronto and has actually represented over 400 refugee cases. He publicly describes numerous cases that show the severity of the situation of a lot of these peoples. For example, he speaks to one case of a woman, a Roma woman, who came to Canada and who had swastikas carved into her chest by skinheads in the Czech Republic. There's numerous cases of Roma children being beaten on the streets and things like that. Those are the cases and the real life cases of peoples, and we have to take it back to, you know, these are people experiencing real issues. Again, the comments to try to generalize that all these cases are bogus is really wrong. I also, if we have enough time, another community actor who works with Mexican refugees has also started to release, protecting the names and everything, but releasing cases, personal cases, of Mexicans also applying for refugee status, trying to dispel this notion and grouping all these people all together and getting to know these people and understanding their plights, right? I can read one. Sure. I have it here, and the names are altered, obviously. So I'll just read it. Vicente and his family fled Mexico to escape threats to their lives. Vicente worked for a private insurance company, but was also active in politics at the local level. So again, this is happening in Mexico. Several years ago, he denounced a case of electoral fraud to the media. This led to repeated threats and harassment by the police, who reported to the state governor. Despite this, Vicente continued his efforts to represent community interests and hold elected leaders to their promises. This brought him into confrontation with the mayor, who called Vicente in for a meeting. He warned Vicente against standing in the way of his ambitions to be elected as governor. He threatened Vicente's family, stating, "I will make you and your family disappear. Wherever you go, I will find you." Shortly after, the state governor told Vicente that he was making too much trouble. Vicente sought support from his own party, the Partido Acción Nacional, or PAN, which has power at the federal level. However, not only did they fail to help him, they actually passed his complaint on to the local authorities he was denouncing himself. So Vicente realized that the various political parties are complicit in maintaining corrupt practices in Mexico. The mayor who threatened Vicente is believed to have ties to organized crime. And Vicente and his wife have 2 young children, a girl age 6 and a boy age 12. Just quickly to frame this situation, a lot of the times, according to the refugee definition, a lot of the times legitimacy is denied on the basis that a government is able to protect or is doing enough to, or trying to protect their citizens, or that these citizens have the ability to flee somewhere within Mexico, let's say, and be able to seek a life. These examples show that a lot of the times the government isn't there for these situations. The word democracy gets thrown a lot, and democracy is often used as another weapon to eliminate countries that Canada wants to accept refugees from. But these examples show that a lot of the times these individuals seek the help of their government and they don't receive it. So in this example, Vicente is actually still waiting for his claim to be heard. These are real cases.
Mm-hmm.
And can I just add to that quickly? Yeah, and there's also been a lot of people have been pointing to the doublespeak of Jason Kenney and just the misrepresentation that he's giving to justify these visa changes. I mean, there was a report issued this spring about concerns for Canadians going to Mexico. They were saying there's a lot of violence, you have to watch out. I mean, there's the U.S.-backed war on drugs that have killed like 6,000 people. So this shows that Jason Kenney's not concerned about violence when it's targeted towards Mexicans, but then a Canadian goes to Cancun on vacation, mm-hmm. You got to watch out. It's ridiculous. And also, he's been talking a lot about this Czech report that the Immigration Refugee Board, I believe, did in the Czech Republic. And they were there for 7 days. I guess they did a tour or whatever, and they came back saying, you know, there's not a lot of persecution here. So he's actually come out in press conferences and said, if a refugee was coming to the board, which is supposed to be, keep in mind, an individual case, like we're examining refugees individually based on their case. So he's saying, if you go to this board and you're saying, I've been beaten by cops, he's going to point to this report and say, no, you weren't. Because we were there for 7 days and we didn't see you get beaten by cops. I guess that's his line. It's ridiculous. And also, he's totally misrepresented the fact that he's making it sound like the majority of claims are being rejected when that's not at all accurate. 85% mm-hmm. of the Roma cases are being approved by the refugee ports. Mm-hmm. So that's a blatant lie in my mind.
Mm-hmm. So can you talk a bit more about why migrants, why they're seeking a better life here in Canada?
Sure. Well, that's a really big question, and there's a variety of reasons. It ties into something that I also wanted to touch on, and we're speaking to certain situations that we can call extreme or that pop on the radars of extreme violence or things like that. I think it's also important, and it does tie into understanding why people are migrating and recognizing that forced migration comes in a variety of forms, and maybe our mainstream ideas of what forced migration is very outdated, actually. The idea of what qualifies, or the definition of a refugee, is very narrow. It's too narrow, right? I think in the time when, let's say, ignorance was still widespread about how our actions and how our support for different political and economic and military policies influence peoples across borders, I think when we weren't aware of those things, and maybe having such a narrow definition of who deserves refuge may fly. But, you know, nowadays, when we're very much aware of these actions and how we're interconnected, we have to look at broadening these definitions and understand that people's, even how people negate economic migrants and portray them as taking advantage and abusing. Economic welfare of your family or seeking a livelihood, that's a need, and it's an extreme need in a lot of cases. Especially in the case of Mexico, if we look at certain trade policies like NAFTA, we can blatantly recognize, and there's been a lot of coverage, that NAFTA policies have displaced a ton of Mexican farmers off their land, and the country's getting filled with low price goods from the United States. Yeah, and these people are being displaced off their land, you know, having to flee into the urban centers, having difficulty finding jobs. That is an intense situation, and that should be considered as deserving refuge.
So I guess what you're saying is that not only do we need to look at this move by Jason Kenney being bad because it generalizes all refugees, saying they're bogus and illegitimate, but that we actually have to expand, you know, what we see as legitimate reasons to come to Canada. Because people coming for economic reasons are still here for survival reasons, the same way that if you're being politically persecuted back home, you're coming to survive in Canada. So, I mean, that's where we stand with the no one is legal standpoint and demanding status for all.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they should not be seen as abusers or bogus. If anything, they could be described as victims of a world that permits such dramatic inequalities of wealth and opportunity. They should not be thrown these labels that are disrespectful and demeaning. I know we don't have a lot of time, but I just wanted to read one quote from the National Farmers Union, which is a Canadian organization of farmers, really progressive farmers, that are really interested in getting public understanding of different agricultural policies, trade policies, and understanding the implications that it has. This is a quote from Martha Ribbons, the international coordinator of the NFU. She says, "A huge portion of Mexican citizens rely on farming to support their families. Our trade policies aimed at finding markets for our grains and meats have devastated market prices for those Mexican farmers. Bankrupted farmers have been forced from rural areas and into cities. Those cities are increasingly lawless and dangerous. Poverty and desperation has fueled the rise of organized crime. Many Mexicans are now trying to escape. Some are coming here. We need to connect the dots. Many of the Mexicans coming to Canada are refugees from NAFTA." And she adds, "There is irony here. As we are forcing open Mexico's borders to our products, we are closing our borders to a significant portion of the Mexican people. We are working to block the flow of people, which is, to a significant extent, a result of work to speed the flow of goods."
Is there any closing notes on this whole topic?
If anybody's interested in these issues, there is a lot of work being done in Guelph by several groups, and recently No One Is Legal Guelph has been formed. So if you're interested, you can email noiiguelph@gmail.com. Mm-hmm.
And also, there's actually an event happening in Toronto on Thursday at 1 o'clock. If you go to the No One Is Illegal website, the Toronto-based on No One Is Illegal, you can also get information about this. And it's going to be at 11:30. There's a press conference where different community actors, both of the Roma and Mexican community, so these are immigration lawyers dealing with these cases who can speak about the real issues at play here. They're going to speak, and No One Is Illegal activists are also going to speak. Followed at one is going to be a protest as well. So if you're in the Toronto area, or if you can get down Toronto, please show support for this and get educated about these issues, because it's really easy to get swept up by the mainstream media and all this discourse about generosity, Canadian generosity, and migrants being abusers of our system. And that's not what's happening.
Great. Thanks so much, Drew and Eddie, for coming on Stark Raven today.
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks.